Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
One of the greatest and thoroughly unexpected revelations that's happened in my photographic life was relatively early in my photographic career, in the early 1980s, when I attended a workshop in Yosemite. I was aware of Yosemite, but I'd never been there. I knew it was a national park. And of course, I'd seen all of those wonderful Ansel Adams photographs of Yosemite, and even some by Carlton Fisk and a few others. Some of my peers and photo buddies had been to Yosemite, and I'd seen some of their pictures. But it wasn't until I got to Yosemite that I realized what an incredible fiction those images are, because the Yosemite that I experienced on the ground, being there, amidst all the other tourists and traffic and smog, was not at all the same Yosemite that I was seeing in all those idealized photographs. I quickly shoved this into a back corner of my mind because I just thought, well, Ansel Adams lived in Yosemite, and so he was able to photograph it on days and times when you and I couldn't. If the weather was perfect and the snowfall was great or the waterfalls were at peak action, he was there. Where you and I might go to Yosemite as a tourist and we rely strictly on luck to find something that's photogenic. For example, to find the air clear to preserve all those wonderful details. That came home to me again in spades in 2015 when I visited Yosemite after a forest fire had been taking place in a fairly close to Yosemite and all the smoke had blown in. And it was not at all an Ansel Adams Yosemite. It was fascinating. I photographed it. I enjoyed photographing it. But it wasn't the Yosemite of my mental gallery. And it was these trips to Yosemite and my viewing of images of Yosemite by the great photographic masters that got me thinking about this idea about the utopian image. There is something in landscape photography that is prevalent, and I think kind of hidden. It's not something I hear people talk about. But what appears to be popular in landscape photography these days is the idealized landscape, a kind of photography that doesn't necessarily show us the world as it was encountered by the photographer, but shows us the artist's conception of the idealized world. Such a photographer might go to Yosemite and not photograph it if the air is filled with smoke from a nearby forest fire, because it's not the ideal view of Yosemite. That photographer would wait until the weather conditions were perfect and hope that he or she could be there at the right time with the right equipment to photograph that idealized world. But that's kind of analog thinking to some degree. The digital age has magnified utopian photography tremendously. For example, I just watched a YouTube video in which a Photoshop guru improved a picture of an absolutely stunning and beautiful woman by using Photoshop to brighten her teeth and deepen the color of her eyes and remove all the blemishes from her skin. Now keep in mind, she was a gorgeous model. But yet, that wasn't good enough. We couldn't just accept the model as she is with all of that natural beauty. It had to be improved on. It had to be finessed. It had to be turned into a utopian vision of what this woman could look like with a little Photoshop help. And I'm not saying the photographer shouldn't do that. I'm not saying that that ruins the photograph. But what it does say is something about what we have come to want or expect in photography these days is this utopian vision. A great deal of photography now is no longer about observing. It's about a little subtle fiction, sometimes not so subtle fiction, about what the world could be, what it might look like if the photographer could wave a magic wand and get their dreams answered with the click of a shutter. And now we can make landscapes more spectacular, light more gorgeous, colors more saturated. We can so easily fictionalize what is into what we would like there to be. And the power of digital photography makes that pretty easy these days. I think this is part of what the AI discussion is all about, is how easy it will be to create fictional photographs that are absolutely believable. We're seeing that already. But there again, most of what I'm seeing, particularly in the landscape, is towards some utopian ideal, to the point where real life almost becomes a disappointment. I'm sure you've seen on the news or maybe on YouTube or somewhere these videos or pictures where a supermodel allows a photograph of herself without any hair and makeup being done by hair and makeup professionals. And essentially what we see is the woman without all of that, as they call it. I don't know if this is an offensive term or not. I apologize if it is. But the term I've heard is war paint. Without the hair and the makeup, they're just people. But if you add all the hair and makeup, now they're some idealized version of themselves. And actors and actresses make careers out of that kind of projection of their idealized self. I watched another YouTube video in which a very accomplished landscape photographer was showing how he, quote-unquote, improved an image by making the campfire glow a little more and intensifying the orange colors in the flames. And he was boosting up the moonlight in the background behind the campsite to degrees that would never exist in the real world. But he made, you know, sort of an interesting picture, I have to admit. It was an idealized fantasy. I suppose I can't bring this topic up without mentioning the painter Thomas Kincaid, who made a career out of idealized fantasies. The problem, however, kicks in when that becomes what the public expects and wants to see, because then all of a sudden, a picture of a woman without makeup, a picture of a campsite without orange flames, a picture of just the world as we find it, seems somehow blasé, somehow not worthy of our attention. And we want that next thrill of seeing the idealized world. To some degree, isn't that what Hollywood movies are all about? The men are stronger than real men. The cars are faster than real cars. Even in a simple television show, have you ever noticed how the hero in the TV show never has to search for a parking spot? There's always one right in front of where they want to go. That's the idealized world. And it seems as though a great deal of art these days is all about creating that idealized world. Now, why is this? Is it that the real world is so distasteful that we need the escape into the idealized world? Is it that we're so unhappy with everyday existence that we want the utopian ideal in front of us as often as we can, be it in novels, television shows, movies, painting, or photography? I have no idea whether the utopian image is a worthy goal or one that we should be warned against. I suppose the way I really feel about it is, if you're trying to create a utopian world and you know that's what you are doing in your artwork, then that's fine. If, on the other hand, you're pursuing the utopian landscape or the utopian portrait or the utopian street scene, or, as far as that goes, the utopian still life moment of peak action in a sports photograph, if you're pursuing the utopian image and you're unaware of it, you're just being driven by unknown forces, by culture at large, by the zeitgeist of our times, then I'm not so sure that's a good thing. It's probably worth becoming aware that that's what we're doing. So that's my purpose in bringing this up, is not to rail against utopian images, not to fight for banality and the plain photograph the world as we see it and find it kind of approach, but rather to know what we're doing and why we're doing it, and to do it on purpose, whether it's making utopian images or avoiding them.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.